Supposed to translate. I can't speak in tongues if I don't translate. It's good night. Good evening.
Amen. And,
it's an honor and a pleasure to be here again with y'all. And I really love y'all. And yes, we do have roots here. You see a West Virginian on the outside, but I was born and raised in Costa Rica in the dry jungles on the Pacific Ocean. So mom and dad are from, mom's from Bim, dad's from Wharton, and they were high school sweethearts and went off to Tennessee Temple in the 60s. Wow. And then he bought an old Dodge pickup truck, and they drove to Costa Rica with my brother and my sister in the front seat with them. And in Nicaraguan, with some of the countries, you have to carry a guard through the country. And dad said the Nicaraguan guy, a policeman, had his gun right in dad's belly the whole time. He just set it there, you know, on his lap. And right at the very end, before he left Nicaragua, he said, "I want you to stick that gun out the window," you know. He got tired of it, pointing that AK-47. And this was before all the wars and all that, the civil wars down there. But mom and dad have been there. Mom's still there over 50 years. And she's my pianist, and she teaches all of our directors. And dad passed away 2.5 years ago, 2020. He didn't die of COVID. And he died in his prayer chair, praying for everybody. And it was a peaceful death, and we miss him greatly. And we've been beat up lately. The last 5 years, just to give you a report, we've lost a lot of people like you have. And I hear your testimonies. I hurt with you. We hurt with you. And the biggest loss was the pastor, Heidel. Wow. But at his funeral, there were so many people that came to this funeral and changed their lives and repented. There was 10 people get saved at his funeral. And we had preachers come in and preach. It was 3 hours long. And it was a blessing. But and I know where he's at. And it was his time to go. But just to give you more update of what we're doing, we've involved for the last 20 years. And I went to work with my daddy in 2021. He invited me back. I didn't want to go. I said, I don't want to work with my dad. I see your son over here. He knows what I mean. They're tough. And so I waited a year, and the Lord got a hold of me a little harder, and I spoke to other pastors. But it was burning in my heart that I wanted to train nationals. I understand missions. I grew up in it. And when you go to these countries, you train the national. You get them to do the job. You don't do it. You're not what we call in Costa Rica, a pastor that plays all the work. He's an orchestra pastor. He does everything. No. I got four guys down there that run the church and the ministries, and they do great. I'd probably do better than I ever did. And that's always been in my heart and my dad's heart. And we worked for 20 years together training nationals. We probably trained about 40 to 50 men, but not everybody ends up in the ministry. There's 15 in the ministry. There's 3 in Panama. There's in the radio. There's pastors. This gentleman that passed away, he was one of our best. And that's, to me, I remember working, seeking my own fortune as a young man here in Atlanta. I came to the state seeking my own fortune. I don't want to ever go back to that. Amen. I know that people work and people have different callings, but when God calls you, you get up and go. You go. Don't ever look back. There's nothing back there to see. There's nothing back there you're going to want. And I've had a very fulfilling life, and I praise the Lord for that. Amen. Very fulfilling, and I couldn't have done anything better in my life. And the COVID hit us pretty hard. It knocked a lot of churches back, knocked our church a little bit back. But we're back on our feet. We disobeyed a little bit. We opened our church. We're not supposed to. And they told us we couldn't sing. We sang anyway. They told us we couldn't go witness. We couldn't go out. We went out anyway. And the Lord blessed us. And right now our church has been growing steadily over the 20 years. We've been able to send out 8 people from our church. And I want to send the 4 guys that I have there with me. If not, one of them take over the church. But just so you know, my wife and my daughter and my son, they all serve with me in the ministry. And this is my wife, Nina, Emily, Ethan. Ethan is 14. Emily is 17. They're both Sunday school teachers at our church. We train our family. That's the number one ministry in your life. Should be your family and your children. Number one ministry. Amen. And my wife, she's 25. No, she's a little bit younger than me. I'm 7 years older than her. But she is. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be able to stand here dressed decently or combed decently. And not only that, but she's a counselor in our church. She counsels a lot of people, a lot of women, and works with the women. And when we do our camps, we have a church ministry and Camp Joy ministry. And my wife plans the camps with our directors. She runs the kitchen, and she's a wonderful wife. And my kids are too. I'm very proud of them. They get up here and sing with me here in a minute. But we want to continue to train nationals in Costa Rica. We want to continue to do camps. But let me tell you something. I've been working for 20 years on the field, and I've been building things. I'm a builder by trade with my fingernails. And you might know this more, because you're West Virginia is similar. You have to come up with things and invent things. Now add that by 10 in Costa Rica. I've been building, and we've been able to produce men and missionaries, and Lord's blessed us with all these different ministries, but we've never had full installations. And our church right now, we don't even fit there anymore, so we built another larger building that can seat 300. And Dad did this before he died. Our little Costa Rican church is paying for that building little by little. And we're asking churches, two or three churches that'll help us. There's one church that's going to help us with the drywall, because we got the building up, the outside siding up, we got a roof, but we have no windows and no inside insulation or walls, and we don't have a ceiling. And we're hoping that you'll pray for that. And you already told us how much you're going to give us. Wow, that's going to go a long ways. We appreciate that. And y'all, you helped us with the car last time. Thank you. That car is still running. It's a church bus. It's a little Ford RAV4. I can fit about 12 people in there. You're supposed to fit only 6. But y'all have been a blessing. And does any of y'all have any questions about our ministry in Costa Rica? Do y'all remember Danny White? Any of y'all remember Danny White? It's hard to forget him. he was Tarzan here on these hills, swinging off the grapevines and Yeah, we did have two hurricanes, and actually three in the last 5 years. One of them, that's one of the things. The mountains there, we're 12,000 foot mountains, but we live in a holler, and we're up 3,000 feet. And the mountains are all made out of mush and mud. They're not rock like they are here. So we have slide-ins all the time. So we had a slide-in we couldn't leave for 2 weeks. We couldn't leave where we were with our car. We had to walk out a trail. And some churches helped us, and we were able to clean it up. And that's one of the things we need to get fixed is that main road. We have 500 yards of gravel, and it comes in on us all the time. And that's one of the ministries, one of the things I'm asking churches to help us with too. And is that? But yes, we have some rain for the hurricanes that you won't believe. It starts raining in April. It started raining in March, and it didn't finish raining until December. Every day. So everything starts to melt. Literally, you see them, just the mountains melting and coming in. It's just like I say it. I'm not exaggerating. it's rough. Yeah. Anybody else have any other questions?
What about other religions? You know, opposition, like Muslims, Catholics, or Jehovah's Witnesses to deal with?
Jehovah's Witnesses, right across the river. About they came in on us, and we're the only two that go door to door anymore. But Catholicism is not a problem. Costa Rica is a very peaceful and open country. You can talk to anybody. And you know what? You can talk to anybody here in the States. I've been talking to people everybody wants to hear. And I haven't had anybody push me here in the U.S., which that's surprising. It's changed here. It's changed. But I do want you to pray for these projects. Our goal was to get in our church, and I want to explain something to you. My wife runs a Christmas play every year. It's one of our biggest gospel sharing moments where we get everybody, Catholics, everybody come in to see our Christmas play, and we preach them the gospel. And she runs it. She'll run anywhere from 20 to 30 actors sometimes. It's very hectic. And we want to be in that new building this year. We want to be in that new building. We have the tile for the floor bought. We have the ceiling bought. And we just need the walls. We need the ceiling put in, the tile. Our little church is paving part of the 500 yards of gravel. So they have their hands full. So pray that some churches will, and I know y'all do a lot, way too much, but pray that some churches on this trip, I'm only here a month, pray that some churches will say, we'll give you for that, for the walls, we'll give you for the ceiling, and we'll get that done so we can move into our building, because we don't fit in our old building anymore. When we fit 150 people there to watch that Christmas play, it's uncomfortable. And anything that hinders the gospel, I want to get rid of. I want people to be concentrated on the preaching, on the play, and I don't want anybody to be uncomfortable. So just pray for that. I'm a builder, and it's frustrating. You sit there and you're looking at the man, that thing needs to be done, that thing needs to get done, we need to get done, and you want to do it, but you don't have the means to do it. And the people there barely have the means to go little by little. So pray for that. And that's a huge need on us. And I'm going to ask.
I mean, like to add 2,000 out of the church to this project.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
What's the total on that, brother? On that
walls? For one of the walls is 5,000. To buy the sheetrock and put it up, it's 5,000. So you hit the mark, and way over. Thank you. Thank you. So. Come up here, kids. We're going to sing. Bring the pictum and the guitar too. Yeah. We want to sing a song, and it's Wherever You Are. We're going to be talking about music a little bit today when I preach, but this song really touches me. And there's a part that says, "But the will of God won't lead you where the grace of God won't keep you."
Yes.
And that's very true.
Amen.
Very true.
Hallelujah.
I've walked that and I've experienced that every step of the way in my ministry. He will keep you if you trust Him. Are you okay?
Allergies.
She's been a little bit sick, so she's our main singer here.
ahead and what's behind. You'll always find he's never too far from wherever you are. You'll always find he's never too far from wherever you are.
Hey.
Sure.
We'll sing one.
Hey, amen. That 2,000, I didn't know how much we got in the offering. With that 2,000, the total is going to be right at 8,000.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Preacher, I'll give 2,000. Let's make it 10,000.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. We're going to speak in tongues now. We're going to sing this old Spanish song called O Lamb of God.
We sang it last time.
We sang it last time. There were Ethan and Emily were about this big. But it says this. It says, O Lamb of God, you came down from heaven above to die on the cross for me, to give me a great salvation. You shed your immaculate blood for me to cleanse me from all my evilness. And you died and you erased all my sins. Oh, Lord, this is why I worship you with all my heart, because you are God and you are my Savior that died for me. It says, you gave me life and peace like the world can't give. And this is why I sing with all my soul. And this is why I enjoy your love, the love that you've shown on the cross for me. This
amen.
Is what it says.
Amen.
So it'll be all in Spanish.
Praise God. Amen. Amen.
I don't remember what
Hello.
Cordero, que bajaste del cielo a morir en la cruz para darme salud y también salvación. Al morir en la cruz la borraste, Jesús.
Let's open our Bibles in Psalms chapter 96. You know, it's a difficult thing sometimes. And when Pastor says I sit there and talk with the Lord about things, it sounds like what I do all the time. Sounds like I understand exactly what he's doing. I sit there and talk to the Lord for days before I come to the States. And the Lord, what am I going to preach in the States? I don't know if you noticed, we're a lot more comfortable singing in Spanish. And the older I get, I start being more Spanish, you know. And not only that, but your culture is different. You're going through a lot of different situations. And it's just the culture divide is huge. And the older I get, the more I see it. When I was young, like Ethan and Emily, I could just go back and forth, switch it, you know, put a switch on, I'm an American, take a switch off, I'm a Latin. But, and the Lord put this on my heart from my director. He's been teaching out of Psalms. And this psalm, and the title of this message is The Heart of the Great Commission. The Heart of the Great Commission. Amen. In Psalms 96. Psalms 96. And I want to read it for you. And it says this, Psalms 96, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonder among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, all ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth, that the world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth.
Amen.
And you read that, and then you read Matthew 28, verse 18 and 20. Says, go ye to all.
Amen.
And you say, what happened to the Jews? Why? This is written by King David in a time when they were coming into a great revival as a nation. And the Jews understood or knew perfectly aware that they were supposed to be priests and preachers into the world.
Amen.
David knew this. He wrote about it. You also read 95. Read 97, 98, 149. They're telling you, we need to preach about our God. Our God is real. He divided the sea. He did all these miracles.
Amen.
And we know that they didn't do that quite well. And my teacher, Dr. Brother Edward Kershaw, when I was studying at Antioch Bible College in Atlanta, he goes over there to Israel constantly, and he says that he spoke to some of the rabbis, and they told him that the worst financial mistake they ever made as Jewish, as Jewish religion or nation, was to give us, the Gentiles, the Bible. Because we took it and ran with it.
Yeah.
We ran with it. Yeah. After Paul evangelized Greece and Turkey and then Rome, the world ran. The world caught on fire all the way to America, all the way to South America, caught on fire with the gospel.
Amen.
And the Jewish people kept it like a sect. You know, they created all these little elite sects and group that kept the Bible to themselves, and they don't want to get contaminated with the rest of the world. It was very pitiful, all the things that came out of Israel. And I think about that, I meditate about it. It took God Himself to come down as a man and guide some of the Jews, some of the most ignorant, backward Jews, fishermen, to go out and preach the gospel. Paul was the only one that's educated.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Matthew maybe. But it took God Himself to come out, bring 12 out. Think about that. Think about that. The first verses, it says, sing three times. Tells us to sing unto the Lord. And we're going to get into the heart of the Great Commission, because the Great Commission has a heart. And God's heart is Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus Christ. Yep. That's the heart of it. But there's something that's got to happen in your heart.
Amen.
Yeah, you're right.
It needs to be changed. And sometimes we got to change it every day.
Yep.
Every day.
Amen.
And we're going to go into somebody that had that heart and was constantly changed. That's King David. If there was anybody that walked with the Lord, that was, what the Bible says, he was like his heart in Spanish. He was, I forget what it says in English, but it says, conforme a su corazón, like God's heart.
Yeah.
It was David.
Yeah.
And we read that and we just sit there, oh yeah, that's interesting. That's not me. You know, I can never be that. Can you? Can you?
Yeah.
Why not?
Right.
Why can't we? Why can't we sing like this?
Amen.
Sing unto the Lord, a new song. When it says sing unto the Lord, it doesn't mean all this modern music.
Right.
When it says sing a new song, what it means is that we need to sing unto the Lord what's happening to us, what God did to us. And I just sat here and heard about 20 testimonies. Make a song out of it.
Amen.
That's exactly what he did.
Right.
Because music and poetry, it's something God gave us as humans to worship God in a beautiful way.
Amen.
In a way that's powerful. It's powerful to sing. We sing hymns and songs that are from old. People who did it, they sang from their heart. Not to be famous or to make money. They sang a new song because that's what's going on in their life. And I say this because during the pandemic, I was able to write some music. I'm a musician, but I never did write music because I always thought I was too contaminated with the world to write. And I said, fooey on this. I'm going to write music because this is what I feel. And it's been a blessing.
Amen.
It's been a blessing to me. And the Lord says, sing unto the Lord. Three times, sing unto the Lord.
Amen.
A new song. Musicians should be willing to make new songs. And I hear a lot of musicians here. A lot of musicians in this church. A music director, pianist. I heard some voices there that are amazing. Some of you people can sing. This is a rare church. I usually go into church, I'm the only one that's singing anymore. You need to sing.
Amen.
Don't waste your time.
Amen.
When people come in here and they hear this church, maybe we should open the windows during the summer and let people hear us sing, because this is different.
Amen.
Our music is special.
Amen.
And it should be spiritual. It should be heard. It's
Amen.
A testimony.
Amen.
That's the heart of somebody who wants to praise God and preach the gospel. And they don't only want to preach it, they want to sing it. And it should flow. You're going to hear this word a lot. You're going to hear this word a lot about flowing. It needs to be out, and it needs to be spirit-filled and heart-filled. You need to be a mind sensitive to God and what God is doing. It's not something that as you walk through your Christian life and you thank God, I thank God for this, I can thank God for that. It needs to be transformative. If you really see God, if you see Him work in your life, it needs to change you. You keep going.
Amen.
Keep walking in that change. Yeah. Don't just say, yeah, he did this today, and you forgot 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
You can't be that way.
That's right.
The Jews knew about salvation. We know. We think of salvation, and we look to Christ. When the Jews were thinking about salvation, when they would read this, they would remember when God took them out of Egypt. They would remember when God beat the Philistines and beat all these nations. They remember when God took them out of Babylon. They had salvation on their fingertips and on the tip of their tongue. It was very real to them how God had saved. They had all kinds of songs and psalms, more than there's written here, way more that they wrote. God is God of salvation. So they write this, and when they read this Psalms, they understand what salvation is. And we have the same thing. And all of what God did for them, because this is what we teach our kids in Sunday school. So we have all the history of God saving us time after time. and then coming and saving us in the ultimate way with his own body.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
This needs to be on the tip of our tongues, on the tip of our fingers, constantly. Everybody you should approach. Everybody. And I made it a point in my life that everybody I come up to, I preach the gospel to. I mention salvation. I mention Christ. Why can't that be your goal too? Why? It needs to be that.
Amen.
It needs to be that. Show forth His salvation is what it means. Show forth His salvation. Declare His glory among the heathen. And I want to say something that's going to sound weird, but it's more than just quoting a verse to somebody or sending somebody to hell in a bad, mean way. It's more. Man. They need to see a Christ, a Spirit-filled person that's right. Joyful and loving.
Amen.
That's what they need to see. Because it's somebody that's been transformed. It's not something that you put on like a mask and one day you're all loving and the next day you're an evil person mistreating everybody. That doesn't work that way.
Amen.
That doesn't work at all.
Amen.
People can see right through that, especially young people.
Amen.
And the young people in this nation, they need to be witnessed to.
Amen.
You know, this culture, and I've noticed, every time I come back, I came back 3 years ago, and 5 years before that, I know this culture has really become corrupt. The young people really become corrupt, and their brains have become mush. And there are all kinds of corrupt, horrible, nasty, perverted things.
Yeah.
But there's something that the devil just couldn't get right with them. And he made him sensitive. Mm-hmm. He made him sensitive. You say, yeah, they're all sensitive and weird. But he made him sensitive for anybody to come and speak to him. I can come up to any young person. I've done it. And they will sit there and listen to me. They'll listen to me. They may be tattooed and all kinds. They may be a guy dressed like a girl, a girl dressed like a guy. And he'll listen to me with a smile. That didn't happen in the 80s or 90s. I remember. I grew up in them. I grew up in that time. These kids will listen to you. Listen to you. And I've experienced it. We need to take advantage of this. And we need to be transformed here. Some things need to change.
Amen.
Because some of us was, I'm not going to get close to that person. Well, I'm not going to talk to him. Look at him or look at her or it, you know. But we need this. That's why the word here is heathen. It says heathen. Declare the glory among the heathen. They're literally heathen. Heathen people around us. They have no knowledge of God and it's our fault. It's our fault. You know, we are open. We are Bibles walking around. We're God's Word walking around. If you pulled out a Bible, they might run from you, but they can see your life. They can see if you're truly Spirit filled. They know if you're Spirit filled.
Yeah.
There's a saying amongst older people in Latin America. You dicen, esa familia, esa persona está llena de Dios. That family, or that person is full of God. You can tell he's full of God. It's a saying. I've always wondered, but how do they know that? How do they know? They know it. The Holy Spirit puts it in their heart. That person is filled with God. Or that family that's holding hands, husband and wife, they're filled of God. And people will see it if it overflows. If you've been transformed inside, it will overflow. It will come out. The whole world needs to know about Jesus Christ. We need to not waste any time, at our work, at our homes, with our families. He says, my family won't listen to me anymore. It doesn't matter if they don't listen to you anymore. You need to be a Spirit-filled person that declares Jesus Christ, that speaks to the heathen constantly. We should remind ourselves of this constantly, that we have a job to do, and we need to do it. We need to waste any time. I always thought, I look at these t-shirts, and I tell my wife all the time, man, I'd like to make me a company where we can put really strong gospel messages on the shirts and sell these t-shirts, and people wear these shirts, and because I'm wasting time here wearing a shirt that says Nike or you know, Under Armour. I'm wasting time. I could have something there that bugs somebody. I have a shirt at the house that says, atheist, there's no atheist in hell, and I have fire right here. And people come up and say, what does that mean? That's good. Atheists are not going to go to hell. There's no atheists in hell. No. That's not what that means. Think about it. Think about it. And then they go, oh, no atheists in hell. Yeah, no, they're not going to be an atheist in hell because when they get there, they're going to be believing in God. So we need to take advantage of our time because we have very little time. I'm 46 years old, and as people been dying around me, I'm like, wow, I'm probably next. What did I do? Where did I spend all my time? The people I spoke with, the people I rode with in the car, on the bus. Well, y'all don't have buses here, but we do. We need to declare His glory among the heathen.
Amen.
Show forth His salvation. It's not just with what you say, it's with how you treat Him, how you walk, everything about you. That's why you can't be a hypocrite Christian and be joyous and be happy. I feel a lot of Christians are just in a lot of depression because they're not wanting to repent. They want to continue to have a saint face in church and a devilish life.
Amen.
For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised.
Amen.
He is to be feared above all gods.
Amen.
Feared. God is great and greatly to be praised.
Yes.
When you declare His glory, it needs to come from somebody who knows that God is great.
Amen.
He is great.
In
my 20 years of doing the ministry, God is great, greater than I could ever imagine. And the older I get, the more I walk with Him, He is greater and greater and greater.
Mm-hmm.
He is great.
Yeah. Right.
You don't go and witness to somebody and you say, hey, you want this tract? You know, there's a verse says right here, for God so loved the world. No! Look at the Muslims! Have you seen the Muslims? They move everybody out of the way and pray in front of everybody 5 times a day. And you say something about them in a wrong way, they're going to beat you up.
Yeah.
They think they have the great God.
Yeah.
They think they have the best God, Allah, which is Satan himself.
Yes. Yes.
He's not great. It says here that those gods are false gods.
Amen.
Yeah.
False God. Our God made heaven and earth. Our God is great.
Amen.
Our God is real. Their gods are fake, false, devils, demons.
Right. Right. Yep.
You go to India, millions of gods. They sacrifice their children to these gods.
Yep.
Africa, millions of gods. Europe, millions of gods with the Nordic gods. They make movies out of them now with all these weird Nordic gods like the Greece gods. They're fake. They're false. They're nothing. It's like we're afraid of Him. We shouldn't be afraid. Our God is great.
Amen.
And greatly to be praised. He is real.
Amen.
He changed me. The biggest testimony or the biggest proof that God is real is look at me and look at yourself. Where were you before
Amen.
This?
Amen.
Amen.
That's a testimony.
Right.
Those religions, the Muslims, they have to be forced and abused to be raised up like these holy men that they think they're holy. Abused from childhood to be these fake, false teachers, demonic.
Yes,
right.
It doesn't happen with a Christian.
Amen.
That's right.
You can be raised in church. Raised in church all your life. But you need to repent and get saved.
Amen. Yeah.
God needs to transform you. He did it to me. I thought I was saved. I made a prayer when I was 6. I didn't know what I was doing. I got saved when I was 10. When He confronted me with my sin. He confronted me. Who do you have your faith in? I didn't understand. At the age of 10, I understood. I was sinful, going to hell like everybody else. And I accepted Christ as my Savior. That changed me.
Amen.
From that moment on, I knew the Lord had a calling on me. I ran from it. I said, Lord, this is hard. Because of my lack of faith. Then I answered the calling and I never looked back. That's a transformed life. Everybody has a different way of their testimony. This doesn't happen in other religions. Only in Christ it happens. Only in Christ it happens. The transformation of your life. Why isn't that overflowing? Why? It needs to overflow. We need to really see God for who He is. See God for who He is.
Amen.
I really like to sit with older people and listen to old people. I like to, because they appreciate every little thing. Have you noticed that? They see flowers and they take care of flowers. And I remember one of my old grandpa, Costa Rican grandpa, because mine were here in the States, but I didn't live with him. My Costa Rican grandpa, I messed up one of his plants, and he got really mad at me. He says, "Why do you break that plant?" "Well, I was just playing around." They appreciate everything. And he says, "God made this. I'm trying to make it beautiful, to make my house look good, for people to see that I have a good testimony." It's like, okay, I didn't know. And the wind and the birds, and those, they'll appreciate everything. They see God in everything, especially my friend Carlos. He's my grandfather. Carlos, he passed away. But we need to see God everywhere.
Amen.
Because if we're in a constant prayer with God, pray without ceasing, then everything, you start seeing God moving things around.
Yep.
Have you ever seen that?
Yep.
Do you see God moving pieces around, moving your life?
Yes.
Touching people? You have to walk away from people sometimes and say, "Lord, you deal with him. You deal with her." Do you do that? Then you see him change. You're like, "God, you're awesome. I didn't have to do anything."
Amen.
We need to see God because he is great. He is great.
Amen.
He can change people. The hardest thing you can change on this earth is a person.
Yep.
It's hard. But he can do it. He can do it. All the other gods are fake. They can't do it.
Amen.
They're abusive. At the end, all these fake religions, basically the demons in them want to kill every single person in those religions.
Yep.
Kill them. That's the goal of Satan. He hates humanity. He hates marriages. He hates children. He hates God.
Yeah.
Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary.
Amen.
Given to the Lord, all ye kindreds, people. Given to the Lord glory and strength. When it mentions kindreds there, it mentions families. It's talking about families. Families that are God-filled families. Where the husband is following God's word, being faithful to church, faithful to his calling as a husband. Satan hates families.
Yeah.
I know this because he's trying to destroy all families in the world. Costa Rica, America, our families are being destroyed, tearing apart. And there's an answer to that. And it's, we don't see God. We're not seeing God. We're seeing everything this world has, all the problems this world has, all the sicknesses this world comes up with, all the carnal things that happens to every human. That's all we see. That's all we pray for sometimes. But we're not seeing God. Sometimes I get, as a pastor, I get frustrated because very few prayer requests are about spiritual things. You know, we're all going to get sick and die. Some of us suffer terrible, and it is horrible, and the Lord will heal us. And I've seen God heal us. But how about our spiritual sight, our spiritual walk, and our spiritual life amongst the people that we live in our neighborhoods, in our church?
Amen.
How about that prayer? "Lord, make me a spiritual-filled person that I'm loving toward this neighbor that's really bugging me." I have a neighbor in Costa Rica that blocks our road. And that's really trying. Lord really tests me with this neighbor. My uncle says, "My West Virginia, your hillbilly's coming out. And it's going to be mean." And I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be mean. Even the day that they took Dad out in the hearse, their car hit that. Their car in the way hit that man. It made me so mad. And we've been praying for that family, the Hidalgo family, for years to get saved. We still are. And I'd had to stand up. Man, everybody has people like that in their life that just gets on their nerves.
Yeah.
And you lose it as a Christian. You can lose it. You can lose your testimony.
Yeah.
I heard of...
Yep.
We need to be very careful with how we walk on this world representing God. If God is great in our life, as God is greatly to be praised and has transformed me, we need to walk with a lot of care. One pastor was telling me about a great preacher here in America, and he was part of his church. And he pastored a church in Dallas. He pastored a church in Chicago. And I remembered who it was. And I said, didn't that guy kill a person in his office? And that's the conversation ended. Ain't that amazing? And it was, I don't know the whole story. I read about it. That's all I remember about that man. A great preacher. Won thousands of souls. Lost his testimony like that. I don't want that to be me. You pray for me with my neighbor. Pray. I'm serious. We pray for those kids. All those kids are drug addicts. They're our neighbors. The children are just having a hard time with drugs. And in Costa Rica, I'm working with the ministry now that deals with drug abuse there. And that's rough. And I know that this county in West Virginia is one of the worst I've heard. And think about you. I was thinking about that right there. Man, y'all need a ministry here that works with drug abuse and people. The ministry I work with right now is a camp, and he doesn't like to call it an addict camp. It's not for addicts, because he says the moment they walk through that gate, they're no more addicts. Because he don't let them consume any more drugs. And he's a 100% biblical missionary. And I'm going to bring him here one day. It's called Roman. I'm going to bring him here.
Amen.
Man, that guy walks with the Lord, and I love him to death. We need to start thinking about how not to waste any time on this earth. And we need to overflow. We need to come out that our God is great. Our God is real. Look how he's transformed my life. Listen, people will listen to a person like that, but people's not going to listen to somebody that's always afraid, passing out a tract, please take it. People are going to put that on the ground. I'm not talking about being mean. I'm not talking about being rude. I'm talking about being spirit-filled. And you can't make that up.
Amen.
You can't make that up. Give unto the Lord, all ye kindreds of people. Give unto the Lord glory. It says three times, give unto the Lord the glory. Do unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Three times it says, give unto the Lord. But it's not talking about giving things to the Lord. God don't need anything. Something about giving yourself to the Lord.
Amen.
But give praise to the Lord like he deserves it.
Right.
When was the last time we used some of these adjectives that are mentioned here? There's a bunch of adjectives here. Strength, beauty. When's the last time we said that in a prayer? Lord, you're beautiful. You're
Amen.
Wonderful.
That's right. Amen.
Give unto the Lord glory unto his name. If we really saw God for what he is and what he's done in our life every day, this country would turn around quickly. If our churches would get our eyes open, it's like we're blind. It's like we're blind. And we're just beat down. And I have been beat down. These 5 years, a lot of things have happened. A lot of things. And I know you too. I can sense it. But our God is great and greatly to be praised.
Amen.
Greatly to be praised.
Amen.
We're sitting here breathing with health. We had clothes. We have food. We have a beautiful country, beautiful state. Let's not waste any time as families. And it says, all ye kindreds of people, give unto the Lord glory. And I have a lot of people say, well, I've already lost my family. I've already lost my children. Go get them. Don't sit there and just, oh, pity party on me all the time. Go
Amen.
Get them.
Amen.
The last time I was here, I preached the message, and somebody raised their hand in the back and says, what do we do? You need to go get them. He's a grandfather. Had put his kids through all kinds of sports, all kinds of things that got him away from church. You need to go back and get them. Be constant. You don't have much time to waste. He was in his 80s. He might have 3 more years. Don't waste those 3 years.
Amen.
Go get your grandchildren. Children, pray Amen. For them. But not just pray for them. Go bug them to death.
Amen.
I don't know what it's like here. I sense that here in the States, a lot of people, just children and young people, are gone. Gone. And I'm very, very happy to see the young men back there working and serving the Lord. They got ties on. And they look really sharp.
Yep. Amen.
And I'm glad. I know that pastor is discipling young men here.
Praise the Lord.
Don't waste any time. Don't waste any of your time. You need to get a heart for the Great Commission and as to win souls here in this county, in this town, and then through your missionaries. If not, you go. Why don't you go? Are you being called into the ministry? Go. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? God used the most ignorant people to turn the world upside down with the gospel. He'll use anybody because it's His power, not yours. Once you realize that, you'll be very useful. Once you realize, declare His glory among all nations. So go into the world. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. And this is a prophetic verse. There's two of them here. But it says the word fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. As I get older, I'm afraid of God more and more. I love Him to death, Pastor. But as you get older, you start being more afraid of God. And you tremble. And David talks about this a lot, about trembling. And there's two things. And these are the two points I want to leave with you tonight, because I don't want to take up your whole time. But it's not like a lot of pastors say, oh, it's not, we don't really want to use that word fear. We want to use the word respect. Do we respect the Lord? No, we respect the Lord. But when you see God for who He is and what He's done in the past and the things that He's about to do in the future,
yes,
you better fear the Lord.
Amen.
You need to fear the Lord. Have you ever read Micah? When He comes down and the sword comes out of His mouth and people melt where they're standing, their eyes go into their sockets.
Yeah.
I fear the rapture. That's going to be, man, none of us ever experienced that. We're going to be gone in a split second.
Yeah.
That needs to overflow.
Yeah.
Amen.
When you're witnessing somebody, tell them, there's a rapture coming. Are you ready? If you stay here, this and this and this is what's going to happen. Oh, I don't believe none of that. Really, I believe it.
Yes,
and I've seen it's changed my life.
Amen.
Amen.
I fear the Lord. And it says it twice in this chapter. Twice. In verse 11 and 12, it talks about how the earth is going to rejoice. Because if you go to the New Testament, there's a place that says the earth is groaning because of our sin and our perverse world. Groaning to be cleansed. Cleansed. Then verse 13, it tells us what we need to do. Verse 10, it tells us what we need to do as the Great Commission. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. He's coming.
Amen.
He's coming. That's what we're supposed to be doing. The commission, the Great Commission is to go and tell people, Jesus already came. He's coming. And when He's coming, it's not going to be nice. It's not going to be a little lamb. It's going to be a lion. And He's going to come and avenge us. I wrote a song here called The Eyes of Fire. Have you ever read Revelations chapter 19? The Eyes of Fire. Right after the wedding, you're going to be sitting there all full, 7 years of eating. And He's going to say, let's go. And His eyes are going to get on fire. He says His dress is already splashed with blood, because He takes everybody into that wine press and squashes everybody. And in vengeance, because what? The world has been destroying and decapitating Christians day in and day out for 7 years in the Great Tribulation. And when He comes, He's going to avenge this world. He's going to avenge us for us. He's coming. How many of you ever used that in witnessing to somebody? I tell them, I take them there. I say, look at this. A wine press. Have you ever seen a wine press? You take all the grapes and put them in there, and they sit there and squash them. That's what's going to happen. People need to know about this. People need to know about this. Do it with love. And do it with fear of God. And they'll see the fear of God in you. And they'll know you're filled. 13 says, before the Lord, for He cometh unto to judge the earth, He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth.
Amen.
He cometh.
Amen.
verse 10 and 13. So there's two things I want to leave with you. You need to see God for who He really is, like David did. Because only that way you're going to understand Him. Holy Spirit's going to fill you, and you're going to be different. You're going to be changed because you don't know who God really is. You need to get in His Word and see what He did and what He's going to do. And then you need to learn to fear God, trembling. Fear Him. And you're going to be more effective when you're going to go preach the gospel. And you're going to not have any trouble answering His call. Because I'm afraid of Him in a good way. A way that transforms me. I don't have any trouble. He says, Sam, go here. I'm going to go there. Sam, go there. I'm going to go there. Sam, stay there. I'm staying here. Do you fear God that way? Let's bow our heads. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank You for this night, Lord, for this church, for the great testimony of faithfulness they've been to us.